Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Amen, Hope Rock. Whoa. You may be seated. Just a quick announcement before we jump into the message component of this morning. Thank you, Audrey. So, my name is Marco, my beautiful wife Kat. We haven't seen us if you are new to this church, because we've been away on vacation. It's good to be back. This next couple of sort of weeks, we're moving into Pentecost next week, Sunday, and we're going to continue with our Act series this morning. But what we are also going to be doing this summer, and I wanted to just give you a bit of a heads up, is we're going to be asking and have asked some of our deacons who are and feel led to preach to help us preach through the summer. These are men and women of God who are gifted in teaching the Word of God. And this morning, we have the privilege of hearing one of our deacons, Timothy West. You'll get to meet him in a few short seconds. But don't be surprised this summer as we go through it. If you see new faces up here, not just my own or Charlie's or anybody else's, but different faces. These are people that we trust, that we believe have a word for us, and we know that are going to lead us into all that God's got for us. So I'm going to just pray really quick, and then we're going to play a video, and then it's over to you, Tim. Father, we thank you for the great privilege to be able to gather together, Lord. We don't lose sight of the fact that not too long ago this was not possible, and here we are again, gathering in your name. And so, Lord, we give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would do something mighty in our midst today. Be with Tim as he preaches, and be with all of us as we receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning, Hope Rock. It's nice to be with you today. As Margaret said, yes, my name is Timothy. I'm like the second version of South African, so you've had version one, slightly watered down. I'm the next upgraded version of a South African. I'm actually an African American. I was born to American and South African parents. And my wife, Carrie, who's in the back, and I have four children, Zoe, Jamie, Charlie, and Abby. And we are here in Texas because the Lord has called us here to assist this wonderful family in starting Hope Rock Church. Like I said, I was born in South Africa, but I grew up in Minnesota and Wisconsin area. So the climate change for us is extremely different being here. And it's much better being here because it's a lot warmer being here. So yes, just a quick brief overview of our journey of the last maybe 4 or 5 years as we lead into this testimony of obedience that we're going to look at is I went back to South Africa in 2004 to do a year of a life at the same church that Marco and Kat were maybe a part of at that stage in 2004. Near the end of that year, I decided to stay for about 12 more years, and I helped friends start another church there. I got married. We had our first two kids. And then from there, we felt God call us to the States, and we moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin for about 2.5 years. I got extremely sick and burnt out in about 2017, 2018. And then we took about a three-month hiatus and went back to South Africa, visit friends at Cornerstone, visit Carrie's folks. My brother-in-law got married. And in that time, we were just kind of going, hey, Lord, what do we do with our lives? Where are we going? What do you have for us? We wanted to not go back to snow. That was like if we got a prerequisite. We were like, hey, anywhere below this line on the U.S. and we can talk about it. And just through hanging out at Cornerstone and speaking with friends, God laid on our hearts to join Marco and Kat. So coming back beginning of 2019, God clearly told us, go to Texas. We didn't have anything lined up. We packed what we could into a minivan. Everything else was in storage. And we left end of January, literally 7 hours before an enormous snowstorm. And that's what kind of brought us here. And just through the time of being here, we've just seen how wonderful God has been when we are obedient. It doesn't necessarily mean the journey and the road that we're going to walk on is always easy, but it is a blessing. And I'll explain a little bit more about my life as we go. You know, my preach is a lot easier today than I thought it originally was going to be because Charlie did an extremely good job last week in Acts 21. You know, hearing about how Paul was chained by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit led Paul, and Paul did all that the Holy Spirit wanted him to do. And we're going to be building off of that now as we go into Acts 22. Charlie ended it in Acts 21 where Paul was being beaten by a crowd, about to be killed. The tribune came with soldiers to arrest Paul. They had to carry him out because of how intense the beating and the fighting was. And Paul yet said in that moment, hey, I want to speak to these people. It's crazy. Not many of us would want to speak to the people who are killing us. And he begged them, and they finally let him speak to the people. And that's kind of where we start Acts 22. So now, just because I've also had the privilege of being the guy at the back that Derek is today on the slides, I'm going to do my absolute best to stick to my slides. Don't look back at him if he gets it wrong. It's because it's my fault. It's not his fault. Okay? It's definitely going to be all my fault. So Derek is amazing at what he does, but we're going to jump around a little bit. So yes, we're going to start in Acts 22. I'm going to start in verse 3. So just before that, keep that up. Just before that, like I said, Paul is speaking to the crowd. They've given him permission, but he's speaking to them in his own language. And what I love about Paul and what we're going to look at is just how he sets the stage, speaking to them, speaking to a Jewish crowd, but showing them how he is still even a bigger Jew than they were. So just kind of keep that in mind as he speaks to this crowd. So we look at verse 3. I'm a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are for this day. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering them to prison, both men and women. And I'll just pause there for a moment. So obviously what Paul is saying to these people who were literally trying to kill him is, back in the day, I used to be just as hardcore as you were, yet I was even more. We find out in the next chapter, you know, Paul says that his father was a Pharisee. Throughout Paul's writings, he describes who he is, and he was highly educated in the law, in Judaism. And so he's just kind of set the stage, telling them that, yes, you guys are passionate about what you are, yet I was even more than you were. And that was key. So we jump down to verse 6. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven shone suddenly around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, who you are persecuting. So Paul has this, we see in Acts 9 as well, Paul has this Damascus Road experience. So he is on his way to kill more Christians. He's got letters and authorization to do whatever he wants to do to them. And on his road and on his journey, Jesus gets a hold of him. We see from here and onwards, Jesus tells him, hey, you need to go to the house. And he meets Ananias. Ananias prays with him. The scales fall off. He gets baptized. So in and throughout this whole experience, Paul gets saved. So we go from, hey, I'm on the road to kill you, to, hey, I love you. Like in moments. That's where we are with that. Verse 17. Verse 17 happens about 3 years after the Damascus Road experience. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw Jesus saying to me, make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And then Paul has a small little argument or discussion with Jesus, saying, hey, you know, wouldn't it be better that I stayed? Because these guys knew how I used to be, and now they can see how I am. Yet that wasn't God's best plan for Paul, though naturally to all of us, that would make sense. Yes, it's great that he represents to the people who he just was, that look at me. And Paul's like, no, no. I mean, Jesus was like, no, that's not going to work this time. Verse 21, Jesus says to him, go, for I will send you to the Gentiles. 22, up to this word they listened, so the people, to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with the fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. So in other words, up to this point, up to verse 21, everybody was okay-ish in the crowd. They were still quite hot and heated because they just tried to kill him, but they absolutely lose their minds. I have young children. I know what a tantrum looks like, but they have perfected it. That's what's happening, but from an adult level. I mean, they're taking off their clothes. They're throwing dust in the air. They're shouting and screaming at Paul just because he tells them where God has called him to go. And he's going to what in their mind are the least of all the people, the Gentiles, the complete opposite of who they are and what they believe. And that spoke volumes to me, just kind of looking at that. And as we know, you know, we have the blessing of hindsight and the blessing of being able to look back over all of Paul's writings and see how he conducted his life up to this moment and going forward. But just think about that for a moment. So he's with a crowd of people who he used to be. So he knows their view of the Gentiles. He tells them the saving act that Jesus did in his life. And then he tells them now he's going back to them. Like, the thought process he must have had mentally in that time must have been like, oh my goodness, I'm coming to the punchline. What are these people going to do? Fear or nervousness or anxiety would have had to have been part of who Paul was as well, because we know he was human. But what was it that motivated Paul to stick to what God had called him to stick to what he thought was the best way to live? And that's in Philippians 3, Some of the scriptures may not be up there because I want you to listen rather than just read. Philippians 3, verse 7. So this is, again, Paul's motivation. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That was Paul's motivation, was Jesus Christ. That's what got him into what he was called to do and what sustained him through it. And that's what I want to look at today as we get to take Acts 22 and dissect that. One thing I have found in preparing and going through this is when you are asked to speak on something and that God lays on your heart what it's going to be, you generally find that you end up going through it so that you can speak from a place of some authority. Don't ask God to help make you more obedient, because it gets very, very challenging what you find yourself being obedient to. For right now, as I lead my family, we're just in a transition period where God has told us to, I've left a job and I'm in transition as God leads us to another one, which is terrifying because you're not sure where you're going to end up. But I find that easier than God simply telling me to go tell that guy over there, hey, I love him. That for me, and that happened this week. I passed one and I failed horribly at the other one. And so just as we look at what stops us from being obedient, just be mindful of God works in our lives and how God is challenging us and changing us in these times that we find ourselves. The number one thing that stops us from being obedient is fear. Fear is the number one thing. Following Jesus is easy. It's what the following takes us through that we fear. Okay? Following Jesus is easy. It's what the following takes us through that we fear. We all want Christianity, we all want to follow Jesus, we all want to be comfortable, but do we do that at the expense of our obedience? Because if we get down to it, we do. I do. I cave often for my comfortable way of life or what I'm doing in that situation rather than just being obedient and following God. So we have lots of different fears. I've had to work through several in this last season of my life. Fear of failing, fear of not being in control, fear of suffering, fear of pain, fear of all of those different things that affect all of us as humans. It's natural to fear. It's what we do with that fear that decides whether we are or not obedient. So how do we overcome fear? We're going to look at three things. The first thing, if we look at Acts 22, that Paul had right was that he knew who called him. In other words, number one, I titled it Love Wins. That's the first way we overcome. Jesus called Paul. Paul had a love relationship with Jesus. Love wins. 1 John 4:18, we all know it. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, but whoever fears has not been perfected in love. There's only one person who has had perfect love, and that's Jesus. So the only way fear gets cast out is through Jesus. Paul knew that. That was a motivating factor in his life, and that needs to be a motivating factor in our life, is that though we may go through certain situations or may see ourselves heading into things we don't necessarily naturally like, we have to realize that the person who called us loved us and still knows what's best for us, even if in the natural that doesn't seem like that. We often forget who it is who's calling us and that he loves us. That was one big thing that stood out to me just in preparing this, is that we often forget because we get wrapped up in the, oh my goodness, Lord, I need to go do what? Or you've called me to do what? And we forget that it's God who's calling us. It's not just some whimsical thing. And we need to rest assured in that the power of our obedience and the strength of our obedience rests in the fact that he's the one who called us. Amen. And he's the one that will sustain us. I want to look at John 10 in light of this. So we all know the Good Shepherd. John 10, verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all on his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. So we have to realize that the God who has called us, we all know it, Matthew 18 as well, he left the 99 to find one. All of us were the one at one stage. That same Father in heaven sent his Son to die for us. That same Jesus who died for us is the one who's calling us out. So we need to rest assured that, yes, situations may not seem great naturally that we walk through, or whether that is by our own choice or what we feel God leading us to, or just with what happens towards us, loss of a loved one or something like that. That we have to take heart in the fact that the individual who called us, Jesus who called us, loves us and knows what's best for us. I'll read one more scripture here. Romans 8, for me, spoke a lot to our family in this season. So Romans 8, I'm just going to read from verse 35. But who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And we need to hold on to that though the situation God calls us to be obedient in may not feel or look lovely, that we need to hold on to the fact that he's the one who called us, he's the one who loves us. And that is one way that we can triumph over the fear that we have in sometimes the things that God asks us to. The second one is that the Spirit leads. So in all that we do, we need to realize love wins. So that means Jesus died for us. He saved us. We look at Paul's life. Charlie spoke about it in Acts 21 specifically, that the Spirit told Paul of things coming, things where to go, what not to do, who to go to, who to see. We can see that throughout Paul's life. But we have to realize that we have to allow the Spirit to lead in these times. So Galatians 5 for me is a big one when it comes to that. And that's, I just want to read that. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other and keep you from doing the things you want to do. Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. What's very interesting is the word flesh here, yes, can denote our sinful nature, can denote our physical skin. It can also mean our human nature. So if we think about it, if we're walking in the Spirit, we're not gratifying our human nature. Obedience to God does not mean our flesh, human nature, or even our emotions will want to go along with it. That's something Karen and I have had a lot of discussions in me leading her and her being honest and me being honest is sometimes, hey, God wants us to stand and wait in this season, or God wants us to stand and or move out and go. Emotionally might not be something we really feel like doing. Could very well be very scary, could cause anxiety and thoughts in our head. But we have to realize that we have to be led by the Spirit. Romans 6, 2 Chronicles, Corinthians 5, you know, the old man is gone. We're new creation. So though it still exists, we still need to lead by allow the Spirit to lead us. Allowing the Spirit to lead does not mean that the flesh gets turned off. It will be there until the day we die. Though I have found the more you give in to the Spirit, the easier it becomes. Amen. Right? You will always have thoughts. I could tell you now, 5 seconds before Marco introduced me, I had a lot of thoughts. I thought, hey, that door's open. I could just run. Let's go. Let's leave. I'm out. Peace out. So the flesh is going to always be there. It's going to always be against what we know we need to be doing. So you can put up the picture of the longhorns. It took me a while to find that picture. I specifically went longhorns. So we know in Matthew 11, Jesus talks about being yoked to Christ. He says, come to me, all you who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, this is Jesus speaking upon you, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. An obedient follower of Jesus is the only one who will experience the ease and the light burden of following Jesus. If you're following Jesus, for in this example, and I'm sure all of us know how that the yoke works, if the oxen on the left goes left, the one on the right follows, and vice versa. Now, if it decides not to follow, you're going to move nowhere. And then you're going to be very evidently aware that you've got something on your neck. But if you're following Christ, that's why his burden is easy and it is light. If you're following Christ, you will literally get to a place where you don't feel like you're even yoked. It'll just be a natural way of life. But it's when we stand our ground and we say, no, Lord, we're going to be disobedient. We don't want to follow. And the wonderful thing about Jesus is because without free will, without choice, we're not actually free. Eventually, Jesus lets you go that way. And very quickly, you'll realize, oh, that was a bad choice. Let's go back this way. Let's continue to allow him to lead. So we need to be yoked. Jesus will never force us to do it because he wants our heart to want to do it. And I think, you know, in looking at Paul leading, being led by the Spirit in Acts 22, for me, that statement that he was going to the Gentiles and how the Jews absolutely freaked out is a prime example of being led by the Spirit. I mean, in our context, how far from this building would we have to go before people were like, yeah, I'm not going to those people. I hope our church never goes to Apache Shores or goes to different areas because of the people group and the types of people that live in those areas, right? We must not allow ourselves to become like the people Paul was speaking to as well. If God leads, if Jesus leads, we follow. And we need to follow. One of the other things I found interesting in following Jesus that we as people struggle to do, or we do very well at, and then causes us to be disobedient, is we try to assume we know what the end result will look like. And we base our decision on what the end result was going to look like. You know, take a look at Jonah. In Jonah 4, he has an argument with God, after the city repents, God forgives them and relents. The reason Jonah ran was because Jonah knew God would do that if the city turned. So Jonah's heart was actually just that God wiped them off the face of the planet. That was Jonah's heart. So Jonah had an issue with the fact that he knew Jonah wanted God to do what he wanted him to do, though God does what God wants to do. And I think one of the ways we limit ourselves in being obedient is that we go, going to that person, they don't look like they need Jesus, or they have too much money, they don't need Jesus, or look how lowly they are, there's no point worth talking to them, or whatever the situation is. And so we make the result of they're lost, they're never going to get saved, or that's not the right thing to do, and then we decide and make our obedience choice on that. And it is the wrong way to go. I mean, if we think about that, of all the people God could have saved on any Damascus Road experience, he chose the one person who was the best at being against him to save. The one person who was destroying his name the best, he saved, and then uplifted his name, and we have most of our New Testament because of what God did in that man's life. Having a testimony of obedience does not mean we need to know how it will all end. Okay, the third way we overcome fear. So we've had love wins. We led by the Spirit. The last one is we have to know the power of praise. So going through hard things or going through easy things, it's really, really easy to praise when really nice things are happening. When you're going through things that are not so nice, or when God stretches you to be obedient in situations that are not comfortable, our human natural response is not to give thanks, not by any means. Yet that's where the victory lies. Victory happens through praise. We see in 2 Chronicles 20, let's just look at that quick. 2 Chronicles 20, we see good old Jehoshaphat. So right now Jehoshaphat is in Judea and Jerusalem. He's got all these people coming against him. He has no idea what to do. He has no idea what's going to happen. He's just been warned there's a big attack coming. Verse 12. If you can read it on the screen. For we are powerless against the great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Then verse 15, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God. Verse 17, but you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Key, stand firm. Hold your possessions and see that the salvation of God on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will help you. They had to still go out in order to gain their victory. They had to still go out in order to gain their victory. So in situations that we find ourselves where we do not feel like praising, where we are fearful in being obedient to what God has called us to do, we still need to stand. We still need to go out. But the key to their success is in verse 21. And it says, and when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in a holy attire as they went before the army. And then verse 22, it says, the whole armies that were around them were routed because of that praise. So Jehoshaphat gained victory because of the praise that went before them. So in our situations and in our places, I'm not taking for granted the hardship that people go through. There are a lot of people in this room who have gone through stuff that's way harder than us. Than what I've gone through. We've gone through our fair share as well. But we have found that a spirit of praise always, always triumphs fear. And I think the main reason of that is because it lifts our eyes off of ourselves and our current situation that we're in. You know? So as soon as we are fearful or we find ourselves in a situation that we find highly uncomfortable, we fixate on that. Praise forces ourselves to look up and outward at the one who called us, at the one who's leading us, and the one who loves us and will see us through those situations that we find ourselves in. The hardships and the suffering we go through, God uses for his glory. And that for me is sometimes a tough one, because we know a lot of people who have gone through some extremely tough situations who have yet to see, maybe in the natural, that be used for God's glory as we would think it would be. But we need to rest assured that whatever God calls us to, whatever that may be, and that might be a little thing of literally going across the road to speaking to someone, or moving to another area, or starting a business, or giving up something, or taking on something. Whatever those things are that God is calling us to be obedient to, we need to realize that he will get us through, and he will use those situations for his glory. Tyler, if you want to come up, you can. We're almost done here. When we look at Paul's life and testimony of obedience to what Jesus has called him to, we have to recognize the fact that Paul had a strong, ongoing, and deep and consistent relationship with Jesus Christ above everything else. Yes, when we look at Acts 22, we briefly see that, but if you look through the rest of Acts and all of Paul's writings, it's the thing he always points it back to, like we read in Philippians 3. Everything is about knowing Jesus Christ. Everything. We don't have to know how it all looks or works out, and it definitely does not all have to make sense. You know, crossing the Red Sea does not make sense. Crossing the Jordan does not make sense when they're both still covered in water. But they do, and as they do, the Red Sea splits, the Jordan splits, and they walk across on dry ground. So we need to hold on to the fact that God calls us. So the three things, again, that we need to learn to overcome fear when it comes to being obedient. We need to know who called us. In other words, love wins. We need to be walking in step with the Spirit, and we need to have a power of praise. Paul knew that in this, that's what drove him. And you'll see as we get into Acts 23 and what continues to happen in Acts, that it was his driving force that sustained him going through what he went through. So if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. I just want to spend a moment just praying.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.